Now, Peter, we've got a question from Vinny, who wants to know, what is the smallest microchip that we can make and how powerful is it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm not quite sure he means microchip. Let's just do a bit of background. So first of all, the track width of a transistor nowadays has got down to about 7 nanometers.
Now, transistors are the things inside chips that make the computer tick, okay. Effectively, aren't
so
they?
So that's not actually in production yet. They're down to about 10 nanometers. That's about the 10,000th of a human hair. It's visible light is 40 times wider than that, the wavelength of that. But I'm sure that's not the question, because a transistor is just on or off. We're probably talking about is microprocessors, and I brought in something that's about the same.
This
which
is the
we
gadget,
can probably see
isn't it,
online.
That you said to me you'd brought this in, and we said at the beginning, Peter's brought a gadget in, and he's going to tell us what it is. This is a big box. It's probably about 20 centimeters by 15 centimeters and about 5 deep, with lots of wires and circuit boards in it. What is that?
So this is the first computer that I developed and built, as you can see, very badly.
That's
built
a computer.
Back in 1975.
Wow.
And the reason I brought it in is because it had a processor in there that had about 4,000 transistors on it, called a SCAMP, in fact. This has 32 bytes of memory.
Gosh,
you know,
that's
you can't
a lot,
do much
it?
With 32 bytes of memory, can you? But I just want to compare that with modern microprocessors.
What does
or
that
microchips.
Do? Why did you build that? What did
I
do?
built it because I want to learn how to build a computer, not because I necessarily want to do anything with it. You have to enter on the front side there are some switches, and you have to enter the program on these switches. And there's 16 bytes of RAM, so you have a maximum of 16 instructions, and it will switch some LEDs on, light emitting diodes on the front. Anyway, that was just an example of that. But nowadays, we've got processors that have got billions of transistors in rather than a few thousand, that are about 600, 700, 800 square millimeters. And you've got GPUs, which are even more. But I think actually,
graphics processing units.
The question is possibly to do with how are we going to do it in the future? Quantum computing, where you've got multiple these quantum bits, or there's an investment I nearly made here in Cambridge, which was storing data as strands of DNA. Then you've got something. Then you've got petabyte. You've got huge amounts of volume of data, possibly as much as there's on the Earth, in the size of a bucket, really.
Yeah, the DNA thing at the moment is being held back by the fact that it's extremely expensive to make and then decode DNA.
To read it's not too bad because there have been sequences around for years.
But to make the DNA is very expensive,
exactly.
Isn't it? But people are saying it's a bit like the sort of Rosetta Stone. It's a very long-lived, stable molecule that you could put your information in
exactly.
And you know it will
be
resilient.
Hundreds of millions of years, exactly, for long-term storage.
Well, thank you for that, Peter.